Hello and welcome to The Headquarters, the official podcast of RaptorsHQ.com. I'm your host, Sean Woodley, and I'm joined for the first show in a long-ass time by a pair of dudes. It might be the biggest age disparity we've ever had between two hosts. First up is Russell Peddle. How you doing?
As the resident old man, I'm doing quite well.
It's not even that you're old.
Get off my lawn, though.
It's not even that you're old. It's just that Mitch Robson, our other guest.
I'm so much older than Mitch.
Yeah, he's super young. He's like 11 years old. How's it going, Mitch?
Not bad, you know, summer is here, time to drink.
You're not allowed yet.
Well, depends on where I am on this great
Yeah, maybe if you go to Quebec, you could probably get away
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, greasy hull trip.
Yeah, oh, greasy hull trips. Did we just lose somebody? We just lost Russell.
Oh, he's back.
Oh, is he coming back? Russell's back.
He couldn't handle the hull talk.
I'm not even going to cut that out.
I started mashing my phone to try and understand how it works because, you know, these newfangled gadgets.
It's a very on-brand statement you just made. No, we were just talking about Hull Quebec and how terrible it is.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Hull, I don't really care for. I'm not near Hull, so it doesn't really matter.
That's fair. I guess, like, people in Quebec, like, you are from Montreal, so I guess you never had the desire to go to Hull. Like, when I was in school and I was 18... Hull was the place to go, because I was right across the bridge, so...
First of all, Sean, I'm from Newfoundland, I'm not from Montreal.
Yeah, I knew that as soon as I said it. The drinking age of... What's the drinking age in Newfoundland?
19.
Really?
That's... Well, the legal drinking age is 19. Everyone gets drunk age is like 11, so...
Yeah, it seems like a lawless land out there, so...
Yeah, I mean, like, it's pretty isolated, and, you know, there are only... two or three things to do ever, so drinking is one of the more popular ones.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to get into a lot of stuff. Actually, not that much stuff today. We have taken like a month off the podcast. I appreciate anyone who has not hassled me too much about not having the podcast. It's just schedules and like a desire to wind down after a long season. I've had the locked on stuff to keep doing too as well, so I just haven't really had the time to do one of these longer podcasts, but... Glad to have Russ and Mitch here today. We got some stuff to talk about. We'll talk about Dwayne Casey sticking around. We'll talk about the NBA Finals a little bit. We got a bunch of your questions. We'll be back in just a second to get things going here on the Headquarters. All right, welcome back to the Headquarters. Sean Woodley with Russell Peddle and Mitch Robson getting things going here. Let's talk about Dwayne Casey. Last week was the big news. Dwayne Casey went on, I think, TSN 1050 and said that he's got the confirmation from Masai Ujiri that he's going to be back next year. It kind of seemed like it was news that was going to be coming anyway. He had been hanging around the pre-draft workouts and things like that. There was no real inclination that he was going to be let go. And a couple weeks after the season, like, he figured that's the time frame in which he'd want to decide if Casey's going to be back, because you want to hopefully have a coach in place by the time the draft comes around and by the time free agency happens, if you're going to go out and find a new coach. Casey's back. Just to get my piece out of the way, I've said this a million times on Locked On Raptors, and I think I've said it on here before. Like, I'm happy he's back. I think it's really hard to replace what he's done in terms of, like, culture, and I think, for me... I'm more am worried about the macro side of things with coaches as opposed to the in-game micro stuff. And Casey's not even that bad at that stuff. Yes, there are things he can work on. Maybe there's, you know, the offensive game plan that needs some tweaks or whatever. But I always come back to how much of the offense is tied to just the strengths of the players the Raptors have and how much of it is actually coaching. And I think if, you know, Masai Ujiri wants to, you know, implement a different kind of offensive system, you know, a more motion style, you know, shooting heavy offense, like, offensive system, I think Dwayne Casey's earned enough rope here to be able to adapt and try to implement it himself and use the minds around him. He's got a lot of good coaching sort of insight on his staff. Like, I think he's earned the right to be able to try to turn things around himself. He's shown he can be pretty adaptable in the past. Like, he's gone from being, you know, the pound the rock, like, super old school guy. He's changed, like, the team's defenses and their defensive schemes, like, almost yearly over the last few years now, just based on, you know, the coaches he's had around him, based on the players or whatever. And he has, you know, been a lot more experimental in terms of his lineups and things like that of late, too. So I think he's done enough that he can prove that he has the chance to prove that he can change things here and, you know, alter the offensive system. And if not, then maybe you revisit bringing him back or not for the next season, or firing him midseason next year if things go really poorly. But I think he's earned enough rope to be able to go into next year. So, Russell, now that I've taken all the points, go ahead. Are you okay with the return? are you okay with the return to Dwayne Casey, or were you disappointed like many of the commenters were?
No, I'm very much with you, Woodley. I've always been very much a Casey backer, and I think everyone, in general, sports fans are too quick to blame coaches, managers, what have you, for the team not being the best team in the league. And I just think it's silly sometimes when you've got all the things like you talked about, like the culture reset, and maybe the team needs a culture reset, as Masai said, just after the during the exit interviews. But in reality, I mean, like, you look at this guy Casey, every single season he's been the team's coach, with the exception of the most recent one, he's had a better record.
Mm-hmm.
The last 4 years that they've been in the playoffs, they've had a top 11 offense and a top 11 defense, all but 1 year where they didn't have a, in 2014-15 they had a really bad defensive rating, but every other year they've been top 11 in both sides of the ball. Like, that's a good accomplishment. He got Kyle Lowry to buy in, and in previous places Kyle Lowry had more of a, you know, maybe butts heads with Casey, but he's played the best under Casey than he has under anyone else in his career. He's gotten the most out of DeRozan. He's gotten, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of positive stuff to say. So if you fire him at this point, is it basically because he can't convince LeBron James to sign with the Raptors? Like, what is the real reason? Like, that's the biggest obstacle right now. So why should he lose his job over that? He's doing a fine job with the team.
Mitch?
Well, why don't I just play devil's advocate here after you two have both made valid points?
That seems to be something you like doing.
Yeah, I mean, may as well fire off the takes, get my Stephen A. Smith money in the future. I mean, yes, they've improved their win total each of the years of his tenure, save for this past year, but they fought through the Lowry injury and were over 500. But I think with the way it went down at the end of the year, such a demoralizing sweep, so many questions, of course. It all hinges on whether Lowry wants to come back, of course. I don't know where the connect is between Ujiri's end-of-season press conference, where it almost sounded like Dwayne was dead meat walking, and then he's at all the pre-draft workouts, and he's around the team, and then, of course, now that he's confirmed back, it just doesn't really make sense to me why, besides you not wanting to go and hire, not having any guarantees that another candidate is worthwhile, why you think he's going to be able to make such a wholesale change when the talent is based. And I mean, that, I guess it's a chicken or an egg question, whether you think that the coach is going to have to come in and adapt his system to the talent there or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know whether bringing in a new voice could possibly make a change easier.
I guess for me there, it's like, maybe another coach is out there where, like, yeah, you could bring him in and he would, like, revolutionize the offense and have the Steve Kerr effect. But I just don't really see a candidate out there that has that, like, obvious sort of, like, clout coming in. And also, well,
Steve Kerr if Mike Brown wins a title.
But also, like, you mentioned, like, the chicken or the egg thing, and it's like, is DeMar DeRozan, like, really cut out to be part of a motion offense where he's playing off ball and he's asked to, like, hit, catch and shoot threes and come around screens for threes and stuff? Like, I don't think that's really his game. I think what the Raptors do on offense, like, it's been proven that it works, and it goes towards DeRozan's strengths. And I think Lowry is a different case. I think Lowry would just fit into any offense you want to run. DeRozan is, like, a little bit more problematic trying to construct a scheme around him. And maybe you can introduce, like, some other things and make it a more sort of elaborate offense. But, like, I think Casey can do those things. Like, Casey is not a dumb coach. Nick Nurse is a really good offensive coach. He has, like, a vast playbook that they don't use all of. And he's, like, a highly regarded offensive mind. So maybe they're just going to draw more from that and try to alter things up a little bit there. Maybe they're going to ask DeRozan to do different things. I just think with, like, a lack of obvious candidates out there, and, like, the real candidates were you promote Nick Nurse or Rex Kalamian, or you go for some sort of outside hire. Like, Jerry Stackhouse I love Jerry Stackhouse, and he's probably going to be an NBA coach one day, but, like, one season in the D-League doesn't make an NBA coach. Like, it's a really hard jump to make. No one's ever made the jump before, and Stackhouse has a lot to learn still, and a lot of the stuff he was doing was based on the Raptors system anyway. And so if you're looking for an outside hire, like, no one got fired this year. There's no, like, sexy retread you can go for. There's no Tom Thibodeau like there was last summer. And then in terms of guys who you're, you know, picking as, like, assistants, like, it's really hard to find those guys. There's a lot of guys who, you know, even from Pop's staff and things like that, who just flame out and aren't good coaches. You know, you get Ty Corbin's and you get James Borrego's and you get all these guys who maybe don't end up being good coaches once they're out of that assistant sort of pipeline that the Spurs have. And you look around the league, like, I'm just not sure, like, Kevin Arnovitz writes his lists every year of the up-and-coming assistant coaches, and we all take it as gospel because Arnovitz knows what the hell he's talking about, and he, you know, reports that really in-depth and goes deep into it, but we don't have any idea how those coaches would do in the pressure cooker of, like, running the show for a team that is supposed to be pretty good. We know what Dwayne Casey can do. Casey's been doing it for a long time, and to just walk away from Casey and probably lose a lot of the staff you have with him, that's another thing, too, is, like, the Raptors have built this culture where they're just, like, developing their own talent in-house, but, like, if Casey's gone, who's to say that Nick Nurse is going to stay, or who's to say that Jama Malalela doesn't go somewhere else? Like, it's just, it's pretty easy to see it all crumble if you make the wrong hire, and I think that's a likelihood, because the bar that Casey has set is really high, and I don't think there's many coaches out there who could reach that bar. So, like, people want to be mad about the offense, but I think overall, like, the macro results have been really successful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a top-ranked offense. But, like, say what you want about the style. Like, it's not a, you know, everyone wants ball movement and hitting threes and all that stuff. But, I mean, I'm much more interested in efficiency. And if you can, you know, get your points per possession and all that stuff like that and do it at a high rate like the Raptors have been doing for years now, they're consistently, like, a top – They were sixth ranked offense this year. They were sixth ranked last year. They were fourth ranked the year before. Like, you're a top offense in the league just because it's not, you know, aesthetically pleasing as, like, say, the Warriors. It's not how the team is built anyway. So This concept of the offense not being that great, I've just always had a real problem with that assessment anyway, just because, you know, it's not predicated on assists of ball movements and threes as much as other teams, but it's you know, getting to the line and a high percentage on drives and things like that, and it works at the end of the day. They score points just fine.
And there's something to be said about, like, the struggles in the playoffs, but, like, there are a lot of different factors that are to blame there. Yes, it's partly DeRozan for not having an ability to create stuff with threes and things like that and being susceptible to traps. It's the same with Lowry. His size, his durability, their issues. But there's also the fact that, like, maybe just the rest of the roster wasn't really cut out for that, and you saw, like, PJ Tucker would get, you know, I'm sorry, Mitch, to slander PJ Tucker, but, like, he couldn't really make a play with the ball in his hands. Like, he could hit a catch-and-shoot shot here and there, but, like, wasn't making plays with the ball in his hands. You had, like, Serge Ibaka just completely unable to pass, Jonas Valanciunas, and these are things that I think are fixable with the right sort of personnel moves, and one of them for me is, like, bring back Patrick Patterson at all costs, because... he's one of the very few guys on the team that can actually do things when the ball is in his hands as that third creator, and people seem to really, really be forgetting that, and you seem to be forgetting that right now, Mitch, but Patrick Patterson was the team's, like, third most important player before he got hurt, and people are forgetting that.
For the first half of the season.
And but, he, like, was still...
he went invisible.
He wasn't really that invisible. He was still... he got injured, and then he was, like, a still... while he wasn't, like, scoring, he was still a plus player who could make a play off the dribble and pass, which none of the other Raptors' bigs can do. So, like, there's a lot of things going on here. I just don't really see how it boils down to Casey in any one of the situations. I think a lot of it is personnel. And then people are like, oh, maybe Masai needs to go. Like, no. Masai's done a really good job. Everything he's done has been high-value moves and things like that. Just hasn't quite all come together. And to judge yourself next to the Cavs is kind of silly because, like, the Cavs are the ceiling for everybody in the East. And again, like, I'm not sure what coach you're bringing in that, like, pushes you through that ceiling. There's no coach who's that impactful that's unlocking some sort of unforeseen ceiling with this team that's going to get them past LeBron. Like, getting LeBron, with, like, as you mentioned, Russell, like, adding LeBron, yeah, that gets you there. But other than that, you're kind of just stuck being number two and hoping for an injury. And maybe that's not a great place to be in, but it's a lot more desirable than, like, just being the 14th best team in the conference every year and not having any stability with your coach. Like, it, being the Orlando Magic sucks. Being the Raptors is pretty good, and Dwayne Casey's been a huge part of that. Mitch, do you have anything to add there? I feel like Russell and I have been dominating this one.
I mean, I can't disagree with that, but I think not even so much the offense thing. I agree with you guys. I don't really care what style you play as long as it works. But I think more so maybe just they've done this 4 years in a row in the playoffs, and it's always just an absolute, like, grind to get any kind of effort that doesn't feel like it's just they've lucked out in somehow in winning. And I mean, we know what the playoffs are like. It's an emotional absolute grind on the fan base, and just in between with the moves Casey makes, doesn't make. Obviously he's a great regular season coach and he's gotten them to a conference finals and they've gotten into the playoffs, but I don't know if bringing in a new voice would terribly hurt if the roster, if they brought back some of the same group.
How many great postseason coaches are there in the league right now?
Ooh.
That's the thing. Coaches are overrated, man. Like, people overstate like how important coaches are. Pop and, like, maybe Rick Carlisle. And, like, other than that, coaches are just kind of there. It's players, man. Like,
I know, but, I mean, you can't get rid of a player as easily as you can get rid of a coach.
Sure.
And even if it's just a surface issue thing, it's at least a way to create a change in the public perception.
But why do we also assume?
I mean, like, why do we have to please the public? Like, why?
The public is people who comment on Raptors HQ, and I love our commenters. No, sorry, yeah, that was a lot. No, the public is people who comment on websites. Like, and I love the comments. I love the people who engage. But like, some of them I wouldn't pick to run my basketball team.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, let's be honest. The team's still selling it. Games with Casey still there, and these people that, you know, are against him are still commenting and still following the team and talking about their frustrations, but they're still, you know, filling up comment boards. So it's not like they're going away necessarily. So I'm not, you know, and this concept too, and like I come across this all the time in different jobs and different situations and things like that. There's a point to which you can't please everybody, and trying to please someone is going to bother someone else. So all of a sudden, you know, there is a portion of the fan base. I know it doesn't seem like if you're, you know, on the internet, but there is definitely a portion of the fan base that likes Casey. And if you get rid of Casey for no reason other than because he can't provide us with LeBron James, because basically that is it. I'm sorry, but, like, I don't know what the big replacement is for Casey that's going to be an upgrade necessarily. And for this concept of, you know, doing it just to change it up, it just bothers me because you're going to still bother other people. So, you know, what is the point? Like, why not, if you have got something that is working, and let's be honest, it is working. They've been beginning, this has been the best stretch of the Raptors have had in the team's history, and I like, that means something. That's not something to just take lightly and change for the sake of changing. Like, I don't agree with it at all. If you know, the team falls off a bit, or if they were to lose, like if they had lost to the Bucks maybe, or if you know, after getting swept by the Wizards a couple years ago, then last year they had been swept by the Pacers, or they had been even beaten by the Pacers, or swept by the Heat, or something like that. If there was a continued problem where you know, you could really tangibly say that. But I mean, there are little things here and there over the last 4 years, but I definitely see more positives than negatives over the last 4 years. We can't, you know, be eaten up by recency bias and the sweep at the hands of the Cavs or what have you. Like, you have to move on. And at the end of the day, like, this regular season, if all the pieces had been there the whole season, it was a 50-win team with Lowry missing a quarter of the season and implementing these new people. And I think Casey handled all that so well. Like, I would not have expected the team to do as well as it did and to finish top 11 offensive defensive efficiency with all the different obstacles that they faced this season. And again, it comes down to they didn't beat the Cavs, so change it up. I completely disagree.
I also don't really understand this whole, like, nitpicking that people do with, like, oh, they won, but, like, it wasn't entertaining, or it wasn't, like, beautiful, and it was a slog. It's like, the playoffs are freaking hard, and a lot of teams have issues, and play tends to go down unless you're one of the best teams in the playoffs. Like, look at the Rockets. The Rockets played two tremendously ugly series, and James Harden really struggled against the Spurs, and like, they weren't the same team they were in the regular season. You're not supposed to be the same team you were in the regular season. And people are all like, well, I don't know, they get to this point where it's like, they're winning series, the Raptors are winning series now, and now it's like, oh, but do it the way I want you to do it. And I just, well, like, I don't, I mean, really get that. It's like, you have playoff basketball, they're winning, and I think people are really sort of overstating how ugly that Bucks series was. Like, game one, the Raptors looked really good. A lot of game two, the Raptors looked really good. Game three, game four, they looked amazing. Most of game six, they looked amazing. And game five was just like, or sorry, game four was like a slog, but it was like a fun slog. Game five, they looked amazing. And game six, for most of it, they looked really good. And like,
okay, but Sean, like, yeah. Did you, say, you talk about the Rockets. I watched that Rockets series against the Thunder, and even though they obviously weren't playing to their full potential, I went into those games thinking the Rockets were going to win the series and win it quite easily, despite their play going down. Now, when I watch the Raptors in a playoff series, I do not think after their first loss that they look like they're going to win another game. Besides that Game 5 blowout, it did not seem like they were going to win another game.
I guess, but it's like, I don't know, I think it's just different people's tastes, I guess. Like, I expect the playoffs to be difficult. I expect them to be a slog. I expect the team you're playing against to be playing at a crazy good level for the most part. Like, I expect them to level up if they're, like, a crap team and they have a guy like Giannis or Paul George. Like, I expect them to play better. Like, the one time this kind of makes sense to me and, like, being upset with the style of play and the manner in which they won was the Heat series, because that was ugly as shit for seven games. But, like, overall, like, I guess I get annoyed, but it's, like, you have everything you've wanted. Like, you have a team that's winning playoff series, a team that you haven't had for 20 years, and now you're going to complain about the way in which they win and say, that's grounds to change the coach. Like, they're still getting results. They're getting to their ceiling the last two seasons. Like, they weren't getting past the Cavs. Yes, they got to the second round this year, but they only faced the Cavs in round two because they played so well in the regular season with Kyle Lowry out that they screwed up their seeding. And, like, you know, I think they had a very good chance if they had come across Boston to make it to the conference finals. And then you're looking at a team that 2 years in a row makes it to their absolute ceiling. And yeah, maybe it was ugly or whatever, but they still got there. So I don't know why how they got there matters.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're talking about the fact that Mitch, if you know they you're discouraged by the or maybe discouraged isn't the right word. I don't mean to put it in your mouth, but the word I should say the. That was going to go by without anyone.
Oh man.
Okay. What was I saying?
Okay, we're gonna have to kick Mitch off. I think this is statutory something. I don't know.
Casey talk would get that.
Yeah, so to speak. fuck. What was I saying?
Something about Mitch's mouth. I don't know.
If you're saying the Bucks, you couldn't imagine them coming back, like the Raptors coming back and winning another game against the Bucks. But they came back and won the series. Like, I think that that's a testament to, like, when you really think that this team has no chance of coming back. Like, we all said that. Like, if you take a snapshot of Twitter on the night of, like, the Game 3 loss or anything like that, you would everyone was like, this team is done, they're never winning another game. And then all of a sudden, you know, they were in a series with the Cavs, and everyone was kind of saying, myself included, like, maybe the Raptors could give the Cavs a run for their money. And you know,
well, yeah, and I mean, we swing between one end and the other, like, do a complete 180 on a daily basis. But I mean, it just feels like they should be past that now, and I don't know whether it's hard to be content. And obviously, like Sean said, we suffered through this team being awful for so long that we've gotten greedy now. But when they're struggling to win games against first-round teams that looked very average in the regular season and teams they had absolutely no problems with in the regular season, like, they blow out the Bucks almost every time they play them.
And the Bucks are a weird team, though, right? Like, they're...
Well, I mean, even the Pacers, too. They beat them handily. And then you get into the playoffs, and it's like they've got your number. It's just like, you should be past this. The first round needs to be your time to get yourself in gear. Maybe the other team wins a game or two, but it's not like the world is crumbling every April 15th to 25th.
Well, I don't know if, like, the world is crumbling as much as we probably see it, just being on Twitter and being part of Raptors Twitter. Like, I'm not sure it's that dire outside of there. I don't know. Taking a snapshot of Twitter is never a good idea.
But I mean, shout out to Kofefe. Like, I went to all the playoff games as a fan, and like, people like are out on the team in like game one by halftime because they've seen this tape so many times before.
They were up at halftime in game one.
But, like, okay, well, whenever the run happened.
Yeah, the second half was shit.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's as soon as it goes wrong, everyone's like, well, same old raps, blah, blah, blah. Of course, it's generic. It's sports talk radio. But, I mean, it has a little bit of truth to it, too.
I suppose. I just, like, what's the alternative? Like, do you want to blow it up and hopefully get back to this point at some day? Do you want to fire a coach and still probably have these same issues because the players are the same and it's probably the players that have more to do with the style of play that the Raptors play? Like, coach, the best coaches suit their offenses and their styles to what players they have. And I think that's exactly what Dwayne Casey has done, and maybe it's something that's susceptible to trapping in the playoffs, but, like, I'm not sure what other coach is going to come in and say, all right, this is a scheme that's better for DeMar DeRozan, and, like, we'll get more out of him in the playoffs. It's like, DeRozan's a limited player. Like, he's got his issues, and if he adds a three, maybe that changes things, but, like, I'm not sure how you get much more out of what DeRozan was this year. The dude made third-team All-NBA. He still had, like, some really nice games in the playoff, despite some stinkers. And I think the issues are more player-related than coach-related is all I'm saying. And if you're firing the coach just because you don't like the way in which they're winning playoff series, I think that's a bridge too far.
I think the thing, like, that gets me about this is, like, it all comes down to how the seeding plays out, and then we have these complete referendums on teams sometimes based on, you know, what happens when they face Cleveland or what happens when they face whatever team. Like, for the Raptors, you know, everyone was pretty quick to admit after seeing, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo and, you know, the Bucks' length and all that stuff like that, I think they would have given just about anybody trouble. Like, despite what team they were in the regular season, they were much better near the end of the season with Chris Middleton and everything like that, and they were probably a more challenging team than, say, this year's Pacers team. Like, I think it's funny though, if it had played out differently, like if the Raptors had come in and faced, like, it landed in a way where they had faced the Pacers, taken care of them in like five games, which was completely possible, and then maybe played, say, the Wizards or the Celtics in the second round, and played them, even if they had still lost in the second round, but played them in a really competitive seven game series back and forth, you know, both teams making adjustments, like, you know, at the end of the day, I think that not being on Cleveland's level, fine, but it was also okay to kind of be on the same level as Boston and Washington because they both had, you know, really good seasons. Mm-hmm. So it's funny if it had played out that way, that they had won handily in the first round and then had a hard-fought series and bowed out in the second round. I don't think, and everyone would be like, okay, we'll come back next year and try it again. Like, I don't think there would be so much of a, like, cry for a culture reset. So it's just everything is a little bit too result-based. And not enough process.
I'm so sick of the culture reset. I'm, like, going to mute those words. It was two words of a 41-minute press conference.
Like, I know, it's
they carry weight.
Ominous, yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
But I think the stuff about Masai saying, like, you know, also coming back and saying that, like, they've had a culture reset being undergone while they've had Casey, Lowry, and DeRozan in-house. Like, they've done it with these same guys. They've done it themselves back when the Rudy Gay trade happened. Like, you didn't have to change, you know, the personnel to make a culture reset at that point. It just happened. And, like, I think you can do that on the fly with the same group. Like, I think we're underselling the ability of guys to evolve and adapt and, like, grow and get better. Like, especially with coaches. I feel like people just, like, assume coaches just stay what they are. But, like, coaches get better. They evolve. And they can get worse at their jobs, too. Hello, like, Byron Scott. But, like, they can also get better and improve and, you know, and just, like, learn and take in advice from other people. And I think Casey has shown that he's capable of that. Like, he's changed his style a lot in the last few years, and I think he deserves a shot one more time at least to get it right with the offense next year. We've belabored this point for 30 minutes. I think that was some good banter right there, boys, with a weird interlude with Russell making innuendos towards Mitch at some point as well. You got any finals? Anyone got any finals takes? I've been, like, avoiding final stuff. The only thing I've read so far is Zach Lowe on Tristan Thompson. I haven't really read anything else.
Me too.
Listen to the odd podcast, but, like, I don't know. It's like the one time a year where I just, like, want to be a fan and not immerse myself in trying to be smart about it. And I want to embrace the narrative and, like, get up into the LeBron and Jordan stuff and, like, be excited about the potential of LeBron beating the Warriors, and, like, the KD stuff is fascinating to me, too. I'm interested in that stuff. I'm not so much interested in the X's and O's because I don't want to think about it that way. I just want to watch it and probably drink many beers while watching it and have some fun. Mitch, you sounds like you're on the same page?
Totally. Like I said on Twitter this morning, I'm just excited for games to finally be back on and to watch the action. And I mean,
I have enjoyed the layoff.
On Twitter we get such, like, I don't know, this is going to sound real like right wing of me, but like, we get so much like, why does everyone hate Durant? It's his collectively bargained right to work where he wants to work. And it's like, yeah, that's totally true. But it's real lame he went to the Warriors, and I haven't wanted anyone to fail as badly as I want him to fail. Like, I just... of course, people have the right to work where they want, and it's a progressive league and all that, and we've moved on. We're progressive as, I think, NBA fans as a whole on the internet are probably one of the most progressive groups. But, like... you went to the team that you blew the lead on in the Western Conference Finals, and you've just made the playoffs a bore.
Yeah, I think it's okay to be...
I hope LeBron takes you down.
Yeah. Russell?
I've definitely thought extensively about the finals simply because I've been covering it pretty extensively for numberfire.com.
So Lizzie.
If you want my takes on that, if you go over to numberfire.com, you can find my very extensive. I use extensive a lot there. You know, I mean, it's a source, but it's long, it's big, and what am I more innuendo? Anyway, the finals. I've got a big finals preview over there, and you know what they say about guys with big finals previews. So
stop trying to hit on Mitch.
And I've also got I have a new podcast that debuted over there as well called the Points in the Paint NBA podcast, and we also did a finals preview, so I've definitely exhausted the finals preview angle. Basically, I think the Warriors are going to have a fairly easy time with Cleveland. I just hope that they won't. I hope it'll be competitive because the playoffs have been boring.
Yeah, the rational person to me knows the Warriors are probably going to win this series in like five, but the person who hasn't read all of this stuff and is sitting back and is watching as a fan is like rooting so hard for LeBron to win, and it's kind of crazy how much of like a 180 LeBron has done in the public eye over the last like year and a half, and I just love it. I'm happy people are finally appreciating how freaking good LeBron is, and I want him to win because I want him to be better than Jordan. I want to say that I watched the best player of all time, and I'm selfish that way. And you know, he might already be very close to that. And I don't know. I'm here for all the narrative stuff and here for all the like larger picture stuff than the how is Kevin Love going to handle the Golden State Warriors pick and roll. And maybe that makes me a bad basketball Twitterer, but that's where I'm at right now. It's kind of fun to just not care about analyzing it and just being into the fan stuff. Anyone have predictions? Russell?
Totally.
Russell, you got a prediction for the finals?
I say Warriors in five.
Yeah. Mitch?
Cavs in six.
Beauty! I love it.
Wow. Bold.
Well, I mean, you know Draymond's getting suspended once because Mike Brown can't handle him.
Well,
Steph is going to get outscored by Kyrie Irving. Zaza's not going to be able to stay on the floor.
Ooh.
LeBron is going to own Durant like he has in his entire career. And Klay Thompson's going to stay cold. So...
all right.
There you go.
I don't know what else there is to say.
I buy that. What's the...
bulletproof analysis.
What's your predicted... what are you predicting for LeBron's final points, rebounds, assist line, and shooting lines in this series?
Averages?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to go 34... 34, 14, and 9 on, like, 52, 43, and 74.
That'll do it. I will go slightly... are you going 14 for rebounds?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to go 36. I think it might be like that first year where he just did everything and the Warriors try to make him do everything, and then because he's hitting his threes, it's just going to add more points. I'm going to go 36, 11, and 12. He's going to average a triple-double in the finals.
I like it.
And he's going to shoot maybe like a little lower just because of the volume. Maybe like 48 and then like 39 from three. Maybe 40 from three. And then whatever, 95 from the line. He's going to figure it out. Haverstraw.
The free throw shooting's going to come back.
Yeah,
huh?
Tom Haverstraw is going to be very upset when LeBron goes 95% from the line in the finals. I think Draymond Green, if I had to like actually make like a legitimate pick for like Finals MVP, I'm going to pick Draymond. Game 7 from last year is like totally in my mind. So like as much as I want to see the Cavs win, I think the Warriors probably do, and I think Draymond's going to be a monster. Russell, LeBron's final stat line MVP pick.
I'd say LeBron goes 35, 10, and 9.
So conservative of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hater.
And I think maybe a 50-40-70 split.
All right. Fair enough. Right. Who do you got for MVP in the finals?
I think it'll be KD.
Yeah?
I think he, I don't know, he's in the best situation he might ever be in to get the LeBron monkey off his back. I think he's got, he's an underrated defender. He gives them a lot of really good versatility in their lineup combinations and things like that. And I just think that, you know, he had arguably one of the best seasons of his career in Golden State. Like we forget a little bit about it because of the injury, but he's a super efficient player and a much better defender than we've given him credit for. He's really come a long way in that respect, and I think that'll all be, you know, front and center in this series.
God, he was such a stupid good defender in the conference finals last year. That was so awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
I liked actually our coworker Bill Simmons. I liked his I like his rationale for Draymond. He was like, I think +800 for Finals MVP. And his rationale is that Steph and KD will just trade games and not have, like, consistently great finals. And Draymond will just consistently put up, like, 5x5s the entire time. So that's my rationale for Draymond. I also love Draymond, so I hope if the Warriors are going to win it, I hope Draymond is the reason. Because he's
great. Here's the thing that kind of gets me, which totally goes against stats and all that, but all the pressure is on Golden State, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, if they don't win, they're an abject failure, and the run is a failure. And, I mean, the Cavs know they can win in Golden State. They won a Game 7 there last year. And also, I think, if the Cavs win the series, it's, like, one of the... It's definitely a top three NBA achievement of all time. Yeah. And if the Warriors win the title, it's like, well, meh. Yeah, I mean, if you didn't, you suck. So,
yeah, they didn't just win a game.
Going to play into the psyche of it.
Oh wait, you know what? You know what? I want to change my mind. I've been dying on this hill for years now. I think that the Warriors are going to obviously win, but I think LeBron gets Finals MVP. It's time, man. He has definitely deserved a couple of these last few years, even on the losing side.
Yeah,
like we've pretty much got to the point where, you know, if he didn't win it a couple of years ago, like the year that Kyrie and Love were out, and he took the Warriors to six games, like, and he should have won it. That year.
Won it?
Yeah, you could have made the argument he should have won it in the year against the Spurs too. And actually, I've written that very article before. I think it's kind of silly, and I think that we're going to look back, and I don't necessarily believe in this concept that, like, Finals MVP, if, like, I think it was Jeff Van Gundy was saying today on a podcast with Zach Lowe. He's like, we might as well just change it to the, you know, the most valuable player on the winning team. Like, it shouldn't say that, because we're getting to the point now where if LeBron can't win it in these situations, then no one can. And I think that he should have that feather in his cap. There's been a couple times the last few years where that's happened. So I could see him going absolutely crazy in the series. It just not being enough, but him being... Maybe perhaps he could end up being the clear most valuable player, since Golden State has so many weapons that one for one to stand out over the others might be a bit difficult.
That'll just be one more thing for him to hold over Jordan. Like, he won a Finals MVP in a Finals that he'd lost. Jordan never did that.
I can't imagine the takes if that were to happen.
Like, I don't necessarily want this to end either way with Jordan over LeBron or LeBron over Jordan, but I think the fact that he's, you know, going to make that a discussion, I'm happy to have that discussion in the next 10 years. Well, like, you know, some people will be irrational about it, and the takes, as Mitch mentioned, will be hot, but it's something that I'm perfectly okay with, that because I think that's a fun legacy conversation, and it's, you know, fun to think of NBA history that way, and to have considered watching, having watched both careers myself, that I've really appreciated, you know, how they stack up and like, you know, each of them getting those little things over the other one. And at the end of the day, I think, because we've got a lot of LeBron time left, a lot of peak LeBron time left by the looks of things.
It's
really interesting to see how it's all going to play out in the end, because I was having this discussion on my other Raptors podcast this week, We the Raps Cast, with Dan Grant, also of Raptors HQ. We were talking about...
Good plug.
Yeah, thank you. Shameless, but good. We were talking about this fact that... what was I talking about? I got so caught up in my plug.
Feeling yourself a little too hard.
I guess so.
Peak LeBron time? Is that
peak LeBron? Oh, yeah, yeah. I was saying, it's not completely crazy to think that he might catch Kareem's scoring record, right? Like,
yeah.
We were talking about that as an unbreakable record, but you're like, man, if he can keep it up at this rate for a few more years, like, he's going to be legitimately, like, in range.
Yeah.
So, like, that's going to be a big thing if he can pull that off. Like, considering how he started and how long his peak has been, like, that's going to be a thing when his career is over to look back at it and to analyze, like, where was his peak? It's like, it was so long. It was like a decade long.
Yeah, longer, man. Like, he's, what, since, like, the 07 finals has been his peak, I guess. And,
yeah,
like, it's probably going to continue beyond this year, so...
Yeah, almost certainly.
Yeah, the fact that it's a conversation now, I think, speaks to LeBron's ridiculousness, and I'm excited for the finals to get going. Although I have been very okay with the layoff, I've enjoyed the break. It's been
getting ready for summer. The Jays have gotten a lot better.
That the Jays have won like every game since the finals, since the conference finals ended, has been nice. I was at the game Monday. I was at the 17-2 game. That was.
Oh my god, that was
fun.
Did you
stick it out the entire game?
It was like over in 3 hours. It was great.
Oh, it was
perfectly timed. It didn't drag on. It was wonderful. Thankfully, the
Reds
sucked.
That was a pleasure.
What's that?
I had it on in the background,
yeah.
And while I was recording something, and every time I looked up, they were getting a hit, and I was like, what is going on? That was like, it was so fun to watch.
Yeah, it was great. You guys want to get us some questions here?
Yeah, sure.
All right. We got a few in. Thanks to anyone who sent them in. First one from Dan Grant at Slammin' Danny G. Russell is famous for wanting to change the Raptors permanently into the Huskies. Russell was famously wrong for this, but continue the question. What other NBA team name would you want to change and to what? Russell, let's start with you.
Okay. I've got a couple ideas.
Okay.
Number one, don't you hate the Wizards?
Like, it's very lame.
It's lame.
I call them the Zards now.
Yeah. But I still can't decide if I'm okay with the... If I was okay with the Bullets either. Like, I understand the reasoning behind changing that.
I totally get it, yeah.
So, I get that might not be a thing to bring back. So, maybe do something where you play up on it being the capital city. You know, obviously you've got the Capitals and... in hockey, and you've got
so
the
original,
in
Russell.
Baseball. No, I know, but like, I like when teams kind of have this continuity, and the fact that two of the teams there already have something political, like, you can still find a way to make it cool. I don't know what it is necessarily off the top of my head. I don't have a perfect suggestion for this, but it could be interesting to have something like that. I don't know what it is. Do you guys have a suggestion there? Maybe something that would fit the Washington.
The Washington Coffeeface?
Presidents.
The Washington House?
The Coffeeface.
Oh, Hillary.
Topical. Is that how we pronounce that?
That's how I pronounced it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious. It's going to be fun to kind of watch how this word grows and what it's used for. But,
what
I'm
a dumb
you...
fucking night.
Oh, my God. I was so happy to be awake. I was up working on something,
yeah,
and I was ready to go to bed, and that kept me up another hour because I just could not believe at the rate at which Twitter was exploding with jokes. It was so entertaining.
I think
and
my
I felt
tweet
like, I felt like I was really part of something, you know.
I did a tweet that I'm pretty sure inspired someone to change their Twitter name. I said, shouts to the work that Kofefe Yeboah does for SB Nation, and he quote tweeted it and then changed his name, and I'm very, very happy about that.
Nice.
It's one of my crowning achievements, which is sad in itself, but shouts to Kofi.
The other one I was thinking of about.
Before you go on, what if they kept on the magical theme and just went with the Washington Warlocks? That's cooler than wizards.
Why would they be magical? I like when there's some kind of relation to something with the place, or there's not a lot of that in the NBA, but I certainly like when there's something that it's not something random. Like, that's one of my big problems with Raptors. It's like, what the hell does Raptors have to do with what we do? Like, anything with Canada, Toronto, anything?
Well, what do Huskies do in Toronto? People have their pets, I guess.
What do Huskies do aside from be a generic-ass team name that every freaking college team has?
Yeah, but it's, like, you gotta keep in mind the origins. Like, they obviously had it.
I know the origins. My elementary school was built in 1927, and they were the Huskies. So, no. It's not. It's old, it's boring, it's not good.
Anyway, that's not the discussion we're here to
no,
have.
No, it's not. Because that discussion is over.
The other one I want to do is I'd like some of the Western Conference teams to, like, pass their names back around, because the New Orleans should be the New Orleans Jazz.
God damn it, you stole mine.
What's that?
You're supposed to pick one, and you took two, and you ruined mine.
The Los Angeles Lakers, I know that they've got a lot of history, but they should be the Lakers. There are no lakes there. And, yeah, so, like, I think that there needs to be some passing around there. But I think those are the main ones that I came up with. Anyone else?
Mitch, I got to think of a new one, because Russell decided to break the rules and took two, so I got to think of something.
Okay, well, naming a team after a net is dumb. So I've got
I'll agree on that. The
Brooklyn mid-30-something writer, hipster, coffee-drinking bloggers.
The Brooklyn James Herberts.
Yeah.
Just the hipsters would be funny.
Brooklyn or the hipsters. Brooklyn Swamp Dragons. Bring it back. Just the Zach Lowe.
That's mine. I don't really know if there's another one that has to change. Out of leagues with bad team names, I think the NBA is, like, the least bad.
It's pretty good, actually. I think overall, like, it's a pretty all 30 there. Very sure that I'm like
hard disagree.
Really?
Yeah.
Who has a bad team name in the NBA?
Okay, any of the ones that aren't plural. So the Heat is a bad team name.
Okay, yeah, the non-plural.
The Magic is the worst team name in pro sports.
Doesn't that get you excited?
No, the Magic is the worst team name in pro sports. The Thunder sucks. The Jazz is misplaced. The Pelicans is weak as hell. The Lakers is misplaced. The Kings is generic as hell. The Raptors, I love
the Magic. How's the Magic the worst?
It is so lame, and it doesn't have. It's not plural. It's
but like but
it,
Disney but World.
It fits perfectly.
It doesn't matter.
I like things that have something to do, like the Pistons, that has something to do with where it's from.
By that logic, it should be like the Orlando Felonies or the Orlando Machetes or the Orlando bath salts or something like that.
Whoa.
I'm sorry, Orlando.
Just slandering Florida out of nowhere.
I listen to this podcast called Dumb People Town. It's with the Sklar brothers and Dan Van Kirk, and they pretty much just read news stories out of Florida. So it's all in my brain. Yeah, I guess there's a lot of good names, but the Nets is really bad. The Hornets is uninspiring to me. The Pistons is uninspiring.
The Hornets is good, man. Like, the whole thing with the hive and the buzzing.
Hornets is good. I like Hornets.
The NHL has the worst names, I think.
It's so tied to the 90s, too, and I like, love the 90s Hornets. And, like, I'm so happy they brought that name back. And I like the design of their logo and their court and their jerseys and stuff. I think it's really sexy.
Is the NHL the worst team names?
Oh, almost certainly.
Like the Hurricanes?
It might be. And, like, if you like the tradition of baseball names, I guess, but, like, there's a lot of baseball names that are, like, not.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's be honest. Red Sox is a stupid name, but there's so much
and
tradition.
White Sox. White Sox.
Football, I think, is, like, the most generic of all of the, like, all of their team names. Yeah, except for, like the Packers and Steelers.
A lot of cats and horses.
Yeah, like, it's all pretty much the same. It's very generic, but, like, they're pretty safe with most of it.
Except for hockey, I mean, you're looking
they also
at
have the best team name of all, the Tennessee Titans, which is the best team name in pro sports. But
that is pretty good. But if you're talking about generic team names, I guess, you know, there have been Titans before. Mr. I don't like Huskies because there are other Huskies.
There are significantly fewer Titans than there are Huskies. And the alliteration.
Do you not remember the Titans? Do you not remember the Titans?
That movie came out after the team became a thing, so. I think. I've never seen Remember the Titans, so.
What?
What?
Oh,
are you kidding me?
Not kidding
Remedy
me.
That. My God.
There have been many revelations on this podcast of movies I haven't seen. I haven't seen The Godfather.
Neither have I. That's fine.
Okay.
It's too long of a commitment.
You friggin' youngsters, man. Go see The Godfather.
Whippersnappers?
I don't have 3 hours to sit.
I don't have, like, I play with your phone in between or something, but just make sure you do it.
Okay, moving on. Next question here comes from Discount Matt Devlin at Jay Henny Tweets. I believe Mitch knows this fellow somewhat.
Yeah, it lives across the hall.
Yeah. Would you rather have no knees or no elbows?
I think I'd rather have no knees because I feel like I use my arms for a lot of stuff.
Are your legs in this situation just like gelatinous, or are they just like long? Are they just like stilts, essentially?
Well, that's an important clarification.
And if I don't have an elbow, can I still bend my arms like a rubber band? Or is it just like...
Yeah, is it like Harry Potter's arm when he gets the bones melted or some shit?
Yeah.
Or is it...
But I feel like you couldn't eat if you couldn't bend your arms. You couldn't...
Yeah.
And I need to eat and drink, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but... I'm going legs.
Wiping your own ass would be hard.
Yeah, I'm going no knees.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, I've been walking around, and, I mean, like, this day and age, you can get something to ride around on.
I'm assuming it's just straight legs with no bend is my...
And even that, like, I can walk around, like, weird and bow-legged.
I'll take the straight arms. Give me knees.
So you're just eating everything through a straw now?
That's fine.
Okay.
How would you pleasure a woman, Mitch?
Well, how would I do that without knees?
He has... I'm not even going to say the mouth part.
I'll tell you when you're older, Mitch.
All right. Next question from Ty Dubray. I ruin his name every time, and I think he's told me how to do it, and I've screwed it up every time. Ty Dubray, I think that's what it is. Is it possible that Drake attends more finals games than Raptors games this season? He attended Raptors games. I think it's a guarantee. Yes. He'll be at.
Highly likely.
Even if it's a sweep, he'll be at all four.
I think he might be in every game regardless.
Yeah, it's probable.
Well, his tour's done, isn't it?
I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
Sure.
Like, that was a big factor. Why was that Raptors game?
Is his tenure officially done after game four when he tried to get into the locker room and they said no?
I believe his contract is up per the reporting
of
Blake
Murphy. Like, was that the final straw when they said we don't want you in here?
I think his contract is just up. Like, I think Blake Murphy reported that, actually. Blake Murphy, the goddamn king.
End of an era. We shouldn't be talking about re-signing Casey. It should be about, like, Drake talk.
Yeah, no, they're just gonna sign The Weeknd.
Ugh.
I'm cool with that.
I like The Weeknd.
The Weeknd's talented. Next question from Bobson Dugnut at Beyond Bonesaw. If Bruno was in this draft, where would he be picked? Mitch, I'm gonna defer to you with this one because I hate the draft and I don't know anything about it. I have to start learning stuff for Locked On Raptors, but for now, where would Bruno be picked in this draft if he was in it?
Honestly, I think he probably goes around the same spot that he does in the draft he was in. Like, if you want to compare him to a body type, he's probably sort of like a Jonathan Isaac, who's a tall wing with an extremely long wingspan. But, of course, Jonathan Isaac went to Florida State, so people have seen him play. I guess you could compare him to... he doesn't even really fit with the French point guard, Frank Nicolina, because... Kalina actually played for his club team and can shoot the ball.
And is a point guard.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know where Bruno would go. I don't really know if you can put Bruno in any draft. Like, he wouldn't go high. I don't...
Yeah. He's like, a lottery pick, but, like, he's probably a first-round pick, probably. Like...
Yeah? Like, is it current Bruno? Or is it...
Yeah, like, current Bruno is just, like, a good prospect, I think, right? Like, he's...
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about rookie Bruno, he might slide, but...
Yeah, but, like, he's... Yeah, like, current Bruno, like, he's got very real defense. He can kind of shoot threes. He had a bit of a down year shooting this year, but, like, he's shown that he can... He's got at least some sort of shot that's unblockable. Like, I think he's going to be a rotation player at some point. And the thing with Bruno that I like is you're probably going to get him to a second contract that's going to be very comparable to a rookie-scale deal just because, like, he hasn't really done anything to earn any money yet. Unless he, like, does something this year where he shows out, but, like...
Watch out for the Nets.
You're probably just gonna get him for dirt cheap on his second deal, which would be nice because you'll get a rotation player locked in for no money if that's the case, and he'd be like 25 making very little money, which is nice. He's like 21. I think he'd be like the 18th youngest player in the NBA right now if he was to be drafted. So, like he's still projectable a little bit, and he's got the body, and he seems to be learning how to play basketball now. So. I think
do we think that Grange statement about him playing at least 500 NBA games is going to become true? Because I don't.
I mean, playing 500 games is hard. Like, that's how many games is he in right now? Like 20?
Like maybe 18?
Yeah. So probably not. But like, I would bet that against that for most people being drafted. Like, it's hard to play 500 games in the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Russell, do you have any takes on Bruno?
No, I don't really. I don't watch any 905. I, like you, hate the draft and don't watch college basketball. And we'll furiously cram to discuss it on different podcasts and places where I write and try to act like I know what I'm talking about, but really I don't, and I'll defer to my 17-year-old brother who's obsessed with it instead.
That's the thing that I don't... Like, it's not so much that I don't like college basketball. I just don't really have time to watch it, and I just don't find it all that entertaining, aside from the tournament, but... For me, with the draft, it feels like nobody, aside from like a very select few number of people, actually knows what they're talking about. So I just feel like kind of like an idiot trying to talk like I know what I'm talking about. So I just defer to everyone else and don't really get too involved unless I have to. So that's where I'm at there.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Which brings into this last question from Snotty Drippin. I see Draft Express has TJ Leaf to the Raptors in the first round at 23. Oh. What say you? And you sound not too excited, Mitch.
God, no. I mean, like, me and Harsh, I think, have been beating this drum since the first mock draft with TJ Leaf dropped, with the Raps taking him at 23. Like, yes, he would maybe cycle in as a rotation player who can shoot and stretch the floor and rebound at the four spot. But, like, you're picking in the mid-20s with a veteran roster who already goes 7 or 8 deep. I think you just swing for the fences.
Yeah.
Like, if Harry Giles is there, I don't know how to feel about Harry Giles. I've kind of waffled back and forth on him because he was the number one prospect. He's already had, I think, 3 knee surgeries, looked terrible at Duke last year, but, I mean, that's just because he couldn't get in the rotation as he was trying to get himself back. But when you have a chance to draft a guy who was at once the number one high school basketball player in the entire United States, I think you should take him over a guy who maybe fits in as a rotation player on a team.
Yeah. I'm with you there. Like, I would rather just draft... Like, I'm not drafting for need, and I'm not drafting, like, for, like, a skill. I'm drafting just for upside from the Raptors this time around. Is there anyone else outside of Harry Giles who might be, like, less risky from a health perspective that you like?
If Semi Ojeleye is there, because he's been rising up draft boards a lot,
right?
I think they should definitely take Semi Ojeleye. He played last year at SMU... in an offense where it was just 5 guys all over 6'7". They each played 40 minutes. They played the entire game. They could all shoot over, I think it was over 38% from 3 they all shot. They all played defense. They all rebound. So I think he would be that typical wing that you want on an NBA team right now where he can guard multiple positions, shoot the 3. He's athletic enough to be able to do a lot of stuff on the court. I think he could definitely get himself into the rotation right away.
All right. Any takes from you, Russell, or should we move on to the final segment?
Heck no.
Okay, we're going to be coming back then in just a second here to wrap things up with your episode sponsor. We'll play that random Raptors game and wrap things up. We'll be back in just a second here on the headquarters. All right, welcome back to the headquarters. Sean Woodley here with Russell Peddle and Mitch Robson, wrapping things up here with your episode sponsor. This week's episode is brought to you by Jason Capono, who played 161 games for the Raptors. He was one of the biggest free agent signings in Raptors history. He played from 07 to 09. Yeah, that's depressing as shit, right? 7.7 points, 1.8 rebounds, 1.1 assists. He shot 44% from 3, 45% from 3 almost, and 46% from the field. He was a shooter. Yeah, that's what he did. Didn't take that many attempts, but he shot. I think he won a couple 3-point contests. Did he win one when he was with the Raptors?
He did. Yeah, he won back-to-back, won One when he was with Miami, and then the following year with Toronto.
Right. Okay. Anyone have any standout memories of Jason Capono?
That him winning the 3-point contest.
Yeah, that was like the phase of the franchise where like they were nowhere near playoff contention, but like they have either someone on the team in the 3-point contest and win it, or someone would win the dunk contest.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I remember that time. That was our relevancy to NBA talk.
I just remember they brought him in to shoot threes, and then he just wouldn't shoot threes in 2007-08. He only shot 1.5 attempts a game. He shot 48% from three and led the league, but only on 1.5 attempts. Like, could you imagine someone shooting that well from three taking that few attempts in today's day and age? Like, it just
no, today, today that person would take, like, six a game.
Exactly. Yeah. That's Kyle Korver. Like, that's, so I think he was a little bit ahead of his time. Should we go to one of his better games?
Let's do it.
That random Raptors game? All right, let's do
Sounds
it.
Sounds good.
I want to find. It's usually better when the Raptors lose the game because the lines are more funny. But I'll go to a game where he won. So this game he won. Yeah, the Raptors won a game on December 14th, 2007. The Raptors played the Pacers. They won 104-93 to move to 14-10 on the season. And Jason Capono had a Raptors career high, 29 points. This was his 24th game with the team, and he didn't do anything this close to this in his second season. This game, he scored 29 points on 9 of 14 shooting, 6 of 7 from deep, 5 of 5 from the line, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and a plus 16 off the bench. Nice game from Jason Capono. God damn it. And he needed it because the starting lineup in this game was ass. 9 other players aside from Capono played in this game. Russell's played this game so many times, I'm going to give Mitch the right to go first. Just got to go back and forth. Whoever ends up clinching first wins. Mitch, okay. What do you got?
What was the date? Sorry.
This was December 12th. December 12th? December 14th, 2007. December 14th, 2007.
So it was the 07-08 season?
Yes.
Okay. And he came off the bench.
He did.
All right. So the starting point guard was Jose Calderon.
Correct. Huge game from Jose. 18 points, 16 assists, 5 rebounds, 5 of 11 shooting, and a plus 10.
Wow.
Damn. Russ, your turn.
This was the year that he went 50-40-90, but it didn't count, right?
I think so. I don't know. Don't hold me to that. I don't know.
I feel like it was. I because I think that was one of the top seasons in Raptors history for win shares.
Yeah, I think you are right. Yeah,
the bar is so low.
I know. But he was ridiculously efficient that year. Like he set an NBA record for free throw percentage.
Today, yeah. Me and my roommate were doing a Sporkle of you know what Sporkle is?
Oh, I love Sporkle.
Yeah.
No idea.
It's like a website where it's like just trivia kind of deal. So it'd be like, all right, name the top 10 in like the main 5 categories of all Raptors history. And a lot of them are repeats for each category. But like it was depressing how high up some of these people were. Like Andrea Bargnani's 4th all-time in points.
That one haunts
yeah.
me.
He's like 4th. I think he's like 6th in rebounds or something like that. Or 4th in rebounds.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
I know, right?
So funny.
Yeah. But anyway, Russell, it's your turn.
Okay. Well, I'll take that. Andrea Bargnani.
Nope. Oh, wait. Did he came off the bench in this game. All right. This was his second. This was his second season. He played 8 minutes off the bench, 2 points, 1 of 1 from the field, and a 0.
Wow, was he in Sam's doghouse at this point?
I would imagine probably he was Andrea Bargnani.
Okay, Jermaine O'Neal started at center.
Nope, this is too early. It's
07-08. Oh, right, it was 08-09. Yeah.
Russell, you're up. Chance to take the lead.
Too early, so that means the. Oh, we haven't mentioned Bajic.
Yep, but Bosch played 38 minutes. He had 22 points, 16 boards, 9 of 20 from the field, and a plus 12 with 2 assists. Yeah, good stuff. Very classic Chris Bosch line from that era. Mitch, it's your turn.
I don't... The center wasn't Rosho still.
Is that your guess?
Yeah, but I know it's not right.
It is right. He played 12 minutes. He started at center. He played 12 minutes, had no points, 1 rebound, 3 blocks, 0 of 2 from the field, and a minus 12. Team worst, minus 12.
You sure?
Russell, it is 2-2, okay. And you are in the driver's seat.
Okay. So we gotten the starting point guard, the starting power forward, the starting center. So we're looking at the abyss of shooting guards and small forwards from that time.
This is where it's going to get rough.
Yeah. You said Capone came off the bench.
Yep.
Anthony Parker be the starter then?
Yes, he played 29 minutes. He had a rough game. He was 3 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block on 1 of 6 shooting, and a plus 11. Sure. Mitch, it's 3-2, Russell. Mitch is up.
This I know this one. I'm confident. Who came off the bench is Mr. Kim Kardashian for a little while, Chris Humphries.
Damn
Yeah, that's my
straight.
next guess.
He had a great game too. He had a team best plus 22, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals on 7 of 11 shooting. Chris Humphries and Jason Capono won this game.
How bad? Who was on the Pacer bench?
Oh, we'll get to the Pacers soon. I think the Pacers were pretty bad. Oh yeah, we'll take it. It's 3-3. We'll take a deviation right now. This is the Pacers roster. Mike Dunleavy, he scored 23, led the team. Jamal Tinsley, Troy Murphy, Danny Granger, Jermaine O'Neal. On the bench, it was Kareem Rush, Jeff Foster, Marquise Daniels, David Harrison, and Sean Williams.
Wow.
Yeah. It's actually not a terrible team, really.
The starting lineup's good. It's like this
Yeah.
year's Wizards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jamal Tinsley. That's a throwback. He was always so good in NBA Live. Or just fast. He wasn't very good shooting. He was just fast. Anyway. 3-3, Russell, your turn. There's one starter left and two guys off the bench.
TJ Ford?
Nope.
TJ was gone.
Was he gone by then?
No.
He
Oh,
only
he
played the
wasn't.
one. Did he only play the one season?
No, he played two. I think he was injured in this season with the back stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. It's gonna have to be another wing. Is Jamario Moon on that team?
Damn right he was. He started, he played 15 minutes,
Yeah.
2 points, 3 rebounds, 1 of 5 shooting, and a minus five.
I didn't buy that jersey for nothing.
Oh my God.
You have a Jamario Moon jersey?
Yeah, so, okay, my childhood collection of jerseys started in 06, 07 with TJ Ford. And then I've got a Jamario Moon from, I think, 09, 10. Or maybe this season. Then I've got an O'Neal, a Jermaine O'Neal, and I've got a Sonny Weems and an Ed Davis. Yeah.
Oh my
I kind of love that.
God, that's amazing.
I
I have
never
like,
wanted to get the star players.
I was going to say, I have Carter, Bosch, and Lowry, and now I feel
Oh,
like a total
it's
chump.
far too mainstream.
I just have a Calderon. I
That's
like
nice.
it.
I like that one.
Yeah. Okay, there are two guys left, and it is 5-4 for Mitch now.
They're both bench players at this point, right?
Yes.
Are they like hard to get like
Wait, it's 4-3 for.
ridiculously
Sorry,
obscure ones or
hold
ones
on.
we should get?
I have to clarify. It's 4-3 for Mitch. 5-4 would mean that Mitch had already clinched it. It's 4-3 with two guys left. These two
Okay.
guys are not totally so obscure that you shouldn't know them. They're gonna be tough, probably, just because like they're random. But like you should probably get them.
Okay.
Like you'll be mad at yourself for not getting them, probably.
Okay. Okay, no, I'll take that. Joey JoJo Graham.
No, sir.
That's what I was thinking.
Mitch with the chance to clinch.
It's another guard. My bracket from a couple months ago is helping me right now.
If
Come up with names.
I'm not
I
mistaken, I
think.
don't think it's going to help you here, but.
Oh, so they're not terrible, terrible.
At least not hated.
Is it. Is one Delfino?
Damn right one is Delfino. God damn it. This is an
Good
upset.
God.
This is a
I
serious upset.
this was the year
Have I
I
ever
was
lost
really
this?
I
I
don't
was
think
into
you
this
have ever
bad
lost.
team for a long time.
Yeah, Delfino played 19 minutes off the bench, 9 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, 3 of 8 shooting, and a zero plus minus.
Damn,
Damn,
Mitch, respect.
that is big. Do you want to rub the salt in the wound, Mitch? I'll give you the opportunity to go up 6-3 and take it running away.
I have no idea who the last guy is. If you give me like an initial or something, I can maybe get it.
I will say short combo guard.
Okay, it's before Quincy Doobie. combo guard. Is it Will Solomon or Juan Dixon?
It's Juan Dixon. God damn it. I'm so impressed right now. I'm so proud of you. So proud of my boy.
Pass the torch, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So yeah, Juan Dixon. 2 points, 1 of 3 shooting, 3 assists, and a plus one. So
now a college coach.
Really? Where's he coaching?
Yeah, Coppin State in Baltimore.
Oh, that's a deep cut. All right.
It's pretty irrelevant, but yeah.
Good stuff. All right, that is gonna do it then. I think we're gonna wrap this up with Mitch taking the championship belt from Russell. I really wish I would have kept track of like around the horn style of who was winning this when we played it.
Cause, that would have been good.
If there's a listener out there who wants to go back and find out who won that random Raptors game every time,
do we have that devoted fans?
I don't know. Maybe there's someone out there. If they go back and keep a tally of who has won that random Raptors game each time we played it, I think we've played it on most episodes. There have been some where we didn't play it before we introduced the game. Please, I want to know, and we'll keep a tally going from there as to, you know, who's winning. The summer is long. I might have time to do this myself, but it would be really cool if a listener would do this. So if anyone out there wants to do it, please DM me or whatever, and I would appreciate it. That would be, I don't know what we would do. Maybe we just like write a post in your honor or something like that. Maybe we'll have you on the podcast. There we go. If you do that, you can come on the podcast at some point.
You can write my piece for me for a day. That'll go well.
All right, guys. This was fun. Russell.
Very fun.
Do you have anything to plug? You have a million things to plug now.
I have a million things to plug. You have no idea how much stuff I do now.
Brag.
I've spread myself way too thin.
Again with again, the not, hitting
not,
on
not,
Mitch.
Not a euphemism. Anyway. on numberfire.com, as I mentioned earlier, you can find my NBA Finals preview and my new podcast with Sam House called The Points in the Paint NBA Podcast. It was our first episode previewing the NBA Finals as well, so that's there. You can listen to We the Reps Cast. It's kind of the sister podcast to this one on the Almighty Baller Radio Network. With Dan Grant, who also writes here at Raptors HQ. He's that's up on iTunes and everywhere you find podcasts. And tomorrow, actually, I have something coming out on Raptors HQ, which is really strange because I don't generally have stuff that comes out on Raptors HQ. But,
don't we all?
Once my regular season, you know, once Dinos and Digits kind of dies down, there's a lot of stuff during the playoffs, obviously, but the summer tends to be a little bit of a lull for me, but I actually am in on the player reviews we've been doing, and my Serge Ibaka piece is coming out tomorrow.
Awesome.
on my birthday.
Happy birthday, Russell.
Happy birthday. What are you turning, 55?
Yeah, roughly.
Just around the corner.
That makes all of him hitting on you much creepier, Mitch. So much creepier now. Mitch, do you have anything to plug? Please tell me you're doing a review for Friday, so I don't have to do one.
Okay, I can get my Tucker one ready for Friday.
Oh, goddammit, yes.
So the PJ Tucker one will be ready for Friday. Follow me on Snapchat, Rich Mobson, all lowercase. Follow me on Twitter at _ Mitch Robson. Follow me on Instagram, Mitch Robson, trying to grow my follower base. If you happen to be a female, late teens, early 20s, hit me up. I'm recently single, so.
I'm not sure how to feel about that.
Mostly trying to see if HQ has any female fans. The group, I need some groupies.
I feel like we have a pretty mono gender listener base. Yeah. I mean, it'd be great if we didn't, but I feel like just looking at the listener sort of like data for this podcast, it's about 99% guys. So you're appealing to nobody right now, Mitch.
You
could be
shot,
appealing to some people, but not yeah. Women. Yeah. Is there, what else are we looking for here? Anything else you got coming down?
me and Harsh are going to do some kind of email exchange. He said he was going to send me an email last week on Thursday to talk about draft prospects, and now we're about a week up against it. So
sounds about Harsh. Yeah.
Yeah. So Harsh, I'm calling you out. Send me an email. Quit being afraid.
There's no goddamn way in the world Harsh is listening to the hour and 18 point of this podcast.
I'm just going to clip these last 2 minutes. And
Ringer style. Just like put a little clip of the podcast up with some like bright colors and whatnot. Shout out to our new coworkers. You can follow me on Twitter at Woodley Sean. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, the headquarters. Please find it there. You can leave a rating or a review. You can also find Locked On Raptors, the daily Raptors show I host. It's sort of daily right now. It's like 4 times a week now that it's the off season. I have player reviews coming out there. I'm going to have Kyle Lowry's player review coming out for Raptors HQ sometime next week, now that Mitch has gladly happily taken over Friday. Friday slot, PJ Tucker. Yeah. Please do it. I would really appreciate it. yeah, so Locked On Raptors, that's pretty much daily. So check that out. Leave a rating, review, subscribe, all that fun stuff. I don't really have anything else going on, so just Facebook Lives. I'm doing Facebook Lives and stuff and posting them to the website for all to laugh at, so do that as well. Thanks to everyone for listening to the headquarters. This was a good time. Glad to be back. We'll hopefully be back next week. If not, it'll be 2 weeks from now. Trying to figure out an off-season schedule here, but thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next time with another episode of the headquarters.